Thank you.
Good morning to everyone. God bless you today on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. Amen. I'm so glad to be here today, and thanks to the praise team and for filling in Larry's absence, and to our musicians, and we just appreciate you all. And all of you who serve here at Antioch, what a blessing you are to each other, a blessing to the ministry of our Lord. So we just thank you. Last week, as you know, I had trouble getting here last week, just from just not feeling well last week. And I just feel a whole lot better today, a lot better today. Last week, I didn't want to see any food. I didn't want to eat. And I'm eating a little bit better. I've been eating better and better every day, just a little bit more. Like Sister Joy was saying, you didn't have much to lose in the first place. And what a little bit of reserve I had, that's kind of gone. But you know what? God is still able. God is still able. And, you know, we've been talking about, for the last couple of weeks, building on a firm foundation. If you have the Bibles under your seats, today we're going to be talking about we're going to be in Psalm 92. Psalm 92. For the last couple of weeks, though, we were in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We were talking about the last sermon that Jesus did when he did the Sermon on the Mount. And we talked about some things about building on this firm foundation. We said, you know what? A lot of times we have Jesus Christ as our firm foundation, but we're not building anything on the foundation. And so the foundation is kind of crumbling. We got things in the house in the wrong place, the windows in the wrong place, the doors in the wrong place, no sealant around the windows, leaky windows, and, you know, things like that, things that we need to shore up that we have not done as believers. And I was listening to this, I don't know who it was this morning, I just happened to have it just in my earshot, and they were saying, you know, in so many churches, people aren't converted. They just say they believe, but that's it. But the lifestyle, if you looked at the lifestyle, it wouldn't match up to who they said or who they say they believe. It wouldn't match up to the foundation that they say that they're building on. And so we're not going to start a lot of new, but today I want to talk a little bit about Psalm 92. Usually, just like today, a lot of times we preachers save it until the time before Thanksgiving. But it's a psalm of thanksgiving, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to read it. So I would like for you to find Psalm 92, and we're going to read the entire psalm. So if you would stand as we read the psalm, that's Psalm 92, and it's going to be verses 1 through, I think, 15. 1 through 15. And it says this. Now, as we read, just don't listen to the words. Just take the words into your heart and into your mind as we read them. And just think about what the psalmist is trying to say. The author of this particular psalm is anonymous. So it's not King David, but it's a psalm that was sung in the temple. It says this. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound are your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Don't we, some of us, have hope? They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day. We thank you, God, for just another Thanksgiving season. And Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks. And we give you praise today, God. We lift up your name. We just worship you right now. God, we know, God, that worship is not a sermon. Worship is not a song. Worship is not something that we sing, something that we just put on and take off at will. Worship is something that we live every single day. So I pray, God, that as we hear your word, help us to live out your truth. Help us, God, to be pleasing to you. And God, just not to look back at where we've come from, but to keep moving forward and to keep doing the things that you've called us to do. God, I bless your name, and I am overjoyed at the work of your hands. In Jesus' name, let everyone say, amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. So I was saying that it's good to praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but you know, there are just times when it gets tough. Life just gets tough for lots of different reasons. Lots of us have different struggles and just different things that are just going on. Nobody has the same struggle, nobody has the same issue. But we all struggle, don't we? We all struggle because if we didn't struggle, we couldn't grow. What could God teach us if we never had anything to struggle about? He says, in everything, in the book of Thessalonians, everything what? Give thanks. In everything, am I thankful for everything that happens to me? No, I'm not thankful for everything that happens to me, but in everything, I know that God is with me and that he will what? Never leave me or never forsake me, that he will always, always be there, no matter what the difficulty is, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I have to walk through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. Those are the things that we're always having to remember. And so when the psalmist says, it's good to praise the Lord, it's good to praise the Lord no matter what's going on in your life. It's good to praise the Lord. It's good to get up in the morning and praise the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you that I'm here. Thank you that, you know what, I don't know what you're doing, but I know I've got this situation going on, and I know, you know what, it's all gonna work out, because you're a God who does what? Works things out. A God who works things out. Not always the way I want them to work out, but works them out according to his will and for his good pleasure, amen? He's just bringing me along for the ride. But sometimes, you know what, me and the Lord are really kind of far apart in where we want to go and how we want to get there. And a lot of times what God is doing is he's shaping us according to what? His will. His will. So it says it's good to praise the Lord. You know, there are times, in fact, somebody had called me the other night and they were like, you know, Marilyn, you know how you said in your sermon the other week you just had to call on the name of the Lord? I said, yes. They said, I was calling on the name of the Lord, because you know what? So many times, all you can do is just call on the name of the Lord. Who else are you going to call? Calling on the name of the Lord, whether you're in pain or whatever the situation is going on, it says it's good to praise the Lord. So you know what? Praising the Lord takes your mind off your stuff. Saying thank you to God and being thankful on the inside takes your mind off of your own stuff. And in the days of Israel, Israel had to do two praise offerings, two Thanksgiving offerings, one in the morning and one in the evening, because they always had to be reminded to be thankful. And I think it's the same thing with us so many times. So many times we take things for granted. We take God for granted. We take breathing for granted when it's not for granted. When God is this, I'm not saying he's not a capricious God. He does things according to his will. But to be thankful, just to be thankful for life itself, because you know how many people didn't wake up this morning? So many. So many, and so many won't see tomorrow. So we got to be thankful. Thankful and make that music in our hearts. I've talked about this in the last couple of weeks. Sometimes you just have to make your own music. And not that music you're hearing on the radio or some of that stuff that we're listening to. I'm talking about spiritual things that encourage the soul, things that spur you on to do what? Good works in Christ. Things that encourage you to be the person that he's called you to be. Some days, just like for you and for me, we wake up and we think, God doesn't love me. Here the psalmist says, I want to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. You know, it's a reminder. It's a reminder. This is not something that just comes naturally for us. Let something happen to us. Let our health not be good. Let something happen to our children. Let something happen just at work or wherever it is. And all of a sudden, what? We get blocked because things are not going the way that we think that they should go. And a lot of times when you're talking about loving the Lord, it's an act of the will. It's not something you feel from one moment to the next moment, because you know what? People who say love is a feeling only, that's exactly what it is. You feel something today and don't feel it tomorrow. It's the way it is. But in this word, God proclaims his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us anyway. It didn't matter what we've done or how long we've done it or where we were or where he pulled us up from or whatever it is. He loves us just like we are and takes us just like we are. So proclaiming God's love is proclaiming his love through the difficult times, through the adversarial times, through times when things don't make sense, through the times when there are questions and no answers, things like that. And always knowing that God is faithful. They sung the song, Faithful, Faithful is our God. Why? Because I'm not always that faithful. But I know that God is faithful. And I just need to keep on putting my trust and putting my trust and putting my trust in him, knowing that God is going to come through no matter how he does it, no matter how it looks, that God is good. And I will sing praises to him and give him, hopefully, my best. So it says, In verse 4, for you make me glad by your deeds, Lord, and I sing for joy at what your hands have done. You know, I was telling you all a few weeks ago when I got sick, and they called me, my boss had called me from work, and I was upset because they wouldn't let me come back to work. And she said, "Well, I don't know if you can work an 8-hour day, and we're going to need to get an exam from one of our doctors before you can come back to work," and blah, 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 blah. So I remember being on the phone that day, and I was like, "Well, I don't agree with you." And she got a little bit kind of, "I don't care if you don't agree. Okay, fine. I just want you to know I'll comply, but I don't necessarily agree with what you're doing, because you don't have, all I have are doctor's notes saying that I can return to work." But here's the thing, and it's not finished yet, but I heard from work probably about a week or so ago, and they scheduled an exam for me on December 1st. Well, at the time when they told me that I couldn't come back to work, they put me on paid leave. So right now, my job is paying for me to be out. And they paid for me to be out since the end of October. I've been out of work since the end of October. If I had gone back to work, I probably would have exhausted all my time. But God has worked it out so that the job is paying me to be off all this time. All this time. And you know, sometimes it just pays just to let God work it out for you. You know, at first I wanted to go and see an employment lawyer and do all this kind of stuff, and I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's like a little, it's like a moth, just like something fluttering, just like the Holy Spirit just fluttering in your ear and in your heart saying, "Be still. Just be still. Don't go doing all that stuff. Just be still. Be still and know that I am God and that I'm going to take care of you." Can I worry about what they're going to do or what's going to happen on December 1st or whenever they get the report back? No, I can't worry about it. All I know is that God is a good God and He will take good care of me. I have a great record. But it was just because what? I got sick. Because I got sick. But I'm here to tell you that if you can push through and endure and know that God loves you and know that He's faithful, God will work it out for you. He will work it out for you. He will. He'll work it out for you. So when it says, "For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord, I sing for joy at what your hands have done." A lot of times I'm singing for joy. I don't even know why I'm singing for joy. Because I can't see what He's done. I can't see down the road. I can't see what he's gonna do. I can't see it specifically. I only have a little light for my path. That's it. I don't have a big flood, you know, like next door, this guy, he puts in this huge floodlight. You know, you come walking up and the whole thing lights up. For what reason, whatever. But it's true. And so, but God does not want like that. We only get to see a glimpse of what He wants us to see. And so when I sing for joy at the work of His hands, I'm singing for joy because my joy, it comes from deep down inside, knowing that He's going to what? Care for me. How great are His works? Anybody know anything about God's works? And the things that He's done in your life? Just think back. Just think back over the things, the times, the things that He's brought you through. Think back over the lives of your children, or if you have grandchildren or sisters or brothers, and just think back on how God has taken care of you. Just think back and remember those things. Remember, don't forget what God has done. Don't forget what he's done. It says, how great are your works, Lord? How profound are your thoughts? Because what? Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And then it's kind of interesting here in the psalm, because it says, senseless people do not know. You know, we have a lot of senseless people. Not just senseless people who, in the case of this psalm, maybe people who don't believe, but we also have people who are believers who are senseless as well, who don't live like there is a God in heaven, who don't live like God wants to do something with their lives. So here's the thing, is that just because you are living, or a person, a believer, is living in sin and doesn't feel any repercussions from God, does that mean that God is pleased? It does not. It does not, because what does this say? It's just not going to always last, will it? It's just not going to always last. But why do we think that when we're in sin, whatever it is that we're doing, that as long as we're not making any waves, or God's not making any waves in our lives, that it's okay? It's not okay. Because it says what? Though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. Only what you do for Christ will last. Only what we do, only what I do will, for Christ will last. Everything else will what? It will burn up. So, don't worry about what Ralphie's doing down the street. Don't worry about what your neighbor's got. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what your neighbor's doing or not doing. Don't worry about it. You just know that God will take care of those things. I don't have to seek vengeance. I don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. I just leave that, just pray for them and leave it to the Lord. But God is still forever exalted. Just because he may be out of sight, that does not mean that he is not in control. God is still in control. And then in the psalm, it just continues to say how his enemies will surely perish and how evildoers will be scattered. And it says, you know, you've exalted my horn. There are some days, just like you, do you know how you even made it some days? Do you know some days how you got out of bed? Do you know how some days that you faced whatever reality you had to face? Do you know how you did it? Because God gave you the strength to do it. Because he gave you the strength of a wild ox. A wild ox, that's some strength. It reminds me of David, and the reminds me of what's his name? Samson, and killing the Philistines with Samson. Yeah. God gives us that kind of strength. That even through the greatest adversity, he's still able to strengthen us for the journey. That's what I'm trying to say. He's still able to strengthen us for the journey. Some days, I don't know how I made it. Some days I look back, it's like that song said, my soul looks back and wonders how I got over. My soul looks back and wonders how I got over, and I know that it wasn't by my own power. It was by the power of the Lord, that he poured fine oils on me, which is representative of his grace, his mercy, his ability to get me through. Sometimes we think that because we've reached a certain age that God can't use us anymore. And in this psalm, it's really interesting because, you know, when you think about a wild ox, you think about strength, you think about youth, you think about all those things, but God never gets tired of using his people if we let ourselves be used by him. And so there'll never be an age that I'll get to until I close my eyes for the last time that God can't use me. Same with you. You don't stop growing. You don't stop doing. You don't stop learning. You don't arrive. None of that stuff. In the last couple of weeks, we talked about the fact that so many people on television, now I want to just say preachers, but just people, you know, everybody's on this kick about destiny, that you have to land in a certain place, on a certain spot, at a certain time. And if you don't land on that spot, guess what? You're not part of God's will, or somehow you missed it. So I told you a couple of weeks ago, about a week or so ago, that's just so much, that's just a lot of baloney. That's not how God wants us to operate. That your success is not dependent on you landing on a particular spot, or particular dot, a particular place. Because you'll never feel like you got there. It's defeated. It's something that the devil sets us up for. Because he doesn't want us to grow. He doesn't want us to learn. He doesn't want us to know that God doesn't have those kinds of stringent things in place where we've got to land on a certain spot. He just says what? Do my will. Whatever that looks like for you, do my will. So he wants you to take a look deep down on the inside. Are you thankful today? Are you thankful when that car just missed you? Or when you just missed that car? Are you thankful today? Are you thankful because you have food on the table? Are you thankful because God is providing for you? You may not know where it's coming from tomorrow, but you know that God is going to provide. Are you thankful? How thankful are you today? How many of you know that this is a difficult society in which a difficult society to be consistent in giving thanks? How many of you know that? A difficult society. Why? Because people aren't thankful. People don't care. People are senseless. They don't live like there is a God, or like they're not accountable to Him. We all are going to be accountable one day. Amen. So what's the question? Besides giving thanks all the time, remembering who God is all the time. I guess the question for me and the question for you and what we have to ask ourselves on an ongoing basis is, what keeps me from having that enduring faith? And I know I might be switching gears a little bit, but you know what? When we can't praise God and we can't say thank you, then our faith is difficult to endure because we can't see what God is doing. So the question is, what gets in your way? What gets in your way? What gets in the way of faith? Of just trusting God each and every moment of each and every day. What gets in your way? Do you let circumstances get in the way? Do they just steal your joy away because your joy is what? Is superficial? Do you let self-control get in the way because you lose your temper all the time? Do you let a lack of love or a lack of forgiveness get in the way so that your faith cannot endure, so that you cannot say thank you? What gets in the way? I want you to think about it. What gets in your way? Or are you just prideful because you've believed that hype all this time that says, you know what, there's a place, there's a spot, and I've arrived at that place. You're troubled in your heart, troubled in your mind. You don't know where to turn. And you let that steal your ability to say thank you and to endure in faith. The psalmist says, don't worry about any of that stuff. Just be who God created you to be. Anybody thinking? Anybody thinking about faith? Thanksgiving? Something you're going to do different this year at Thanksgiving? Not just that particular day, but maybe it's something you're going to start every single day. You're going to start a new habit, a new thing. There's something about each one of us that God wants to develop and change and do something different with. Y'all look so sad. Don't look so sad. Don't look so sad. God is a good God, always wanting to do what's best for His people, His children. We just have to trust and believe and have that enduring faith. I just want you to look back. Look back at something you've asked God to do. And I want you to Think about all the hair you've lost, worrying about it. And God took care of it. And you look back and you think, I should be bald headed. I still got some hair left. Be encouraged today. Just be encouraged by what God is doing, even though you can't see. If you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing, just run hard after God. I can't tell you anything else. Just run hard after him. You can't go wrong. You can run hard after other things. But run hard after God. Make that your point. Make that a point. Last week, some of our young people aren't here. Some are here this week who weren't here last week, and some ones who were here last week aren't here this week. But one of the things that I had asked parents and grandparents to do, teach your children how to endure. Teach them a core value. Teach them something. So that when they get out there in those streets, they're already out there, that they'll know what to say, yes or no, or that I'm not going to do, that's not part of who I am. Teach them. Who else is going to teach them if you don't teach them? We're trying to do this now and trying to develop our young people now so that they understand thankfulness. They understand who God is. So when they get to college or wherever they're going and they study philosophy, they don't come out completely like not believing at all or not knowing what they believe and why they believe it. Well, keep praying for me. I know that some prayers went up for me this week. I could feel them. I know that they did. And I will continue to pray for you all and pray for our congregation that we will continue to grow in faith and that we'll stay fresh and we'll stay green, like it says at the end of this psalm, that we won't become stale, that we won't become people who are ready to be just rubbish, trash, but that we'll just stay on fire for God, just on fire. That when we look back, I don't know about you all, but when I look back, I don't want to go back there. I'm going to keep looking ahead and asking God to do something different with my life. I don't want to be the same person that I used to be. What does that mean? And then I'm going to go. That it's not something I can make up my mind to do today. I'm going to stop doing that today, and I'm going to be different tomorrow. It's a change that comes because of my love for the Lord and because I'm letting him do just some different things in my life, just like you. You can't do it. Say, I'm going to stop doing this today. It's just not that simple. That's work. That's too much work. It's letting the Holy Spirit just permeate who you are and letting him change you as he changes you. It's not setting a mark and landing on that mark. It's becoming. It's becoming. It's becoming not just set apart positionally in Christ, not just I become a believer, but I'm being set apart in my spirit, in my mind, the way that I think, the way that I talk. All of those things is something different. Just different. I'm just asking God to help me to have an enduring faith and to be thankful at every single step of the way. And when I don't understand, I'm going to say thank you anyway. You don't understand? Say thank you anyway. Amen? Amen. That is our lesson for today. Don't forget to say thank you.